Thank you very much. All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off Nun Beis Amud Aleph, four lines down. Amud Abnosin. So we're going to be referencing this sheet in just a little bit. Amud Abnosin, Amud Traxin, Lo Echri Bo Chachamim, Ikilifnim Ikilochutz. So also remember, we spoke about the Amud Traxin yesterday. In the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a one Amud thick wall dividing the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And so now Rabbi Nosson comes along and says, the Amud Traxin, this Amud of space, the Chachamim were not able to decide, if it's considered like Kilifnim. Thank you. So we'll say our shiur today is sponsored by Moshe and Deborah Wertheim in commemoration of the Yartzeit of Liba Bas Zusha. And we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama has an aliyah. Amen. And also, again, for the refuah shalema of Cyril Bas Riva Leah. And we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she has a complete and enduring refuah. Okay, Amud Abnosin. So ultimately, again, so Rav Nosson says that the Amud Traxin, this one Amud of space occupied by the wall that divided between the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we're not sure if it's considered like the Kodesh or like the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Maskif LaRavina, my time up. Why is it that the rabbis had such doubt about the nature of this space? Meaning, what's the nature of the ambiguity? What's the nature of the doubt? Ilei mamishum dichsev. Maybe you'll say because the pasuk says, "V'habayis asher bana Shlomo laHashem." But since now the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Melachim Aleph, "V'habayis asher bana haMelech Shlomo laHashem," the house that Shlomo Melech built for Hashem, "Shishim Amar Arko," was 60 amos in length. Esrim rochbo, 20 amos in width, u'shloshim amos komoso, and 30 amos in height. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, va'arboim ba'amo hoya habayis hu haheichal lefanai, and the heichal itself was 40 amos long. So the Gemara says, uksiv, and the pasuk says, quoting a number of psukim just from Malachim Aleph, v'lifnei ha'divir, the divir I will say is the partition, before in front of the divir, esrim amo. There were 20 amos, orech, in length. The esrim amo rochav, 20 amos in length. In width. The esrim amo komoso, and 20 amos in height. Vayitzapeu zohav sagor vayitzaaris. He doesn't quote the rest of the pasuk. V'lo yadinan amatraxin imehani esrim imehani arboim. So we'll say, now here's what's very interesting to note. According to the way that we just read the psukim, if you'll notice, if I look on the sheets that I gave you, so you'll notice over here what's on picture 112. I took this diagram from the art scroll. So if you have the art scroll Gemara, you have 112 in your Gemara already. So if you take a look at picture 112, what you'll notice is the following. These are the dimensions. These are the dimensions now that the Gemara just mentioned. Now remember, this picture actually that you're looking at over here is actually a picture of the second Beis HaMikdash. But that's okay because the inside dimensions are going to be the same. We have 40, you see, you're walking in, remember, this is on, okay, you're walking in the entranceway in the front, that's the ulam, the top of the T part over there. Then if you keep walking in, you'll walk into the heichal. You'll notice that the heichal itself is, I should have labeled it, I apologize, is 40 amos long. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you see, you have a picture over here of the double curtain. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is 20 amos long. Mr. Martyr, it's good you came because that's what we're going to discuss. Good. So now, they pay me the big bucks to give the shear. So correct. But you're saying excellent. So now look at this. It says the Gemara like this. So the Gemara says, here's what we have. So we've got 40 of the Heichal. We've got 20 of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara says, V'lo yadinan amatraxin. So now here's the question. We don't know the amatraxin imehani esrim v'imehani arbaim. Now Mr. Martyr is saying good because the truth is this picture already is reflecting the conclusion of the Gemara. But before, if you imagine, take out that partition for just a moment, the way that when you read the Pesukim, here's what it sounds like. It sounds like from beginning of the Heichal, to the end of the Heichal. End of the Heichal means, to the back of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. How much space is there? There's 60 amos. And now the assumption is that one of those 60 amos is what? is the amatraxin. And so the Gemara is suggesting that perhaps again the doubt of the Rabbanon was where does the amma for the amatraxin come from? Does the amma come from the 40 amos of the Heichal, or does the amma come from the 20 amos of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So the Gemara says, "V'imehani esrim, does it come from the 20 amos of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? V'imehani arbaim, or does it come from the 40 amos of the Heichal?" So the Gemara suggests, one second, the Dilma lo mahani esrim, v'lo mahani arbaim. Maybe it's neither. Maybe it's neither. Maybe the amatraxin is not reckoned as part of the 40, and it's not reckoned as part of the 20. And therefore what? V'chalala lo kachoshiv. Excuse me, Vlomahani Arbaim. V'chalala lo kachoshiv, koslim lo kachoshiv. And the Gemara says, maybe when the psukim give these measurements of 40 amos in length for the Heichal, 20 amos in length for the Kodesh HaKadoshim, what that's talking about is the amount of open, usable space. But it does not include the amatraxin, nor does it include what? Nor does it include the width of the walls themselves. So 60 amos represents open space. What's the phrase? Is there a better word? Open space? Open space. Is there like a building term? There is. Come on, tell me.
No, you're good.
All right. So says the Gemara. Teda. Now, we'll say the Gemara says, we believe that this assertion is correct. Meaning that when the Navi in Melachim Aleph gives us the dimensions of 40 amos of length for the Heichal, 20 amos of length for the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that is independent of the amatraxin, as well as independent of the width of any walls. How do we know that? So listen to this. D'chol Heichal d'ka choshev koslim, or kosalim, choshev le'lidideh. Because the truth is, whenever we discuss the width of walls, the width of walls are always reckoned independently. Look at Rashi. Kachoshev l'didei, l'makom ha-mechitza levad min ha-shishim. We'll discuss now about how we go ahead and calculate out the walls, but we'll notice that the width of the walls are always looked at separately than the open space. This Narabo says, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Ha-heichol mea ab. Excuse me, Meya Ameya Birum Meya. Well, so listen to this, because the Mishnah says that the Heichal is 100 Amos by 100 Amos with a height of 100 Amos. Okay, so we'll say, so we're going to define this obviously a little bit more. So the Gemara says like this. Now watch this. Kosel Ulam Chamesh. Now we'll say again, I'm just going to show you this on this picture that I have for you on 112. I should have actually labeled it. I apologize. But remember again, we spoke about yesterday, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we're on a north, the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the west. So meaning when you enter into the Beis HaMikdash, you are entering in, you're walking in a westward direction. So let's go, we'll take our virtual tour of the Beis HaMikdash now together. So watch, you're entering in through the entranceway right at the top of the T, which is the Ulam. So the first thing over there, the Gemara says, Ha'eichal, Me'ah, okay, good. So the Gemara says, Ulam, Kosel Ulam, Chamesh. So first thing we encounter is the wall of the Ulam. The wall of the Ulam is 5 amos in thickness. Okay? Vaha'ulam achat esrei. The open space of the Ulam itself is 11 amos. Okay? So keep walking. So now we've traversed the 5 amos thickness of the wall of the Ulam, the actual 11 amos of open space of the Ulam. Now remember, we're right about to enter into the Heichal. And what happens? Kosel ha'heichal sheish. The thickness of the wall of the Heichal was 6 amos. So now again, we've just traversed those 6 amos. We're now in the Heichal. The arko Heichal, excuse me, kosel Heichal sheish, the arko arboim amo. So now what happens? Now I walk through the length of the Heichal. Remember again, you see over there, you, on your right you have the Shulchan, on your left you have the Mizbeach, on the left you have the Menorah. That area spans 40 amos. Next, what do I encounter? The amatraxin. What do I encounter next? The amatraxin. Now we'll say again, so here you see already how is the amatraxin being reckoned as its own, so it's not part of the 40, not part of the 20. So then I get to the amatraxin. V'chof ama base kodshei hakadoshim. Then after I pass through the amatraxin, again, I'm getting to 20 amos of kodesh hakadoshim. Kosel ha'heichal. Now I will say again, if I were to walk through the kodesh hakadoshim, remember there's a wall on the back over there, that back wall, kosel ha'heichal, sheish, that back wall is 6 amos thick. V'hatah, Now, also, this is interesting. Ta, Rashi says, Ta is Yitziah Shachori Beis HaKapores. There was empty space. There was an empty space in between, if you'll notice, the back of the wall, the back wall of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the back wall of the Beis HaMikdash itself. That back, so that we call that the Ta. That Ta was there, 6 amos of open space. The Kosel HaTa, Chamesh. And the wall behind the Ta, the wall behind the open cavity there, was another 5 amos. So also again, what do you see from here? So first of all, what you see from here is this is where you get 100 amos from the beginning of the Heichal, or the beginning, we'll call it, of the Ulam, all the way through the back wall. By the way, we'll say, just so you should know, to orient yourself a little bit, when we speak about the Kotel that we have today, the Kosel Ma'aravi, so just understand that wall, I mean, the wall that we have today is not even one of these walls. That was probably like a wall like, over here, it was one of the outer support walls. But that's the direction. That's why, again, if you ever go on the tunnel tours, so there's an amazing moment there where they say that you're right opposite the space, the area of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because in reality, what we go to the Kotel today is probably a wall that's like about over here. So when you take the tunnel tours, you keep walking this way to the point where you literally get right opposite the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is the closest point today that we get to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So in any event, Rebbe said, what do you see from here? You see from here that Lemaisa, the thickness of the walls and the thickness of the Amatraxin are reckoned independently. So therefore, again, going back to Malachim Aleph, when the Novi gives us the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash, it is clear that what do the dimensions represent? Right? Open space, open usable space. So when the Novi says that the Beis HaMikdash was 40 amos for the Heichal in length, 20 amos for the Kodesh HaKadoshim in length, that's talking about open space. But in fact, if you were to take all of the measurements, would actually, including the walls and including the Amatraxin, you'd actually have 100 amos from the beginning all the way through the end. All the way through the end. So our purpose is over here. So remember, going back, the Gemara began by saying that we don't know, we had ambiguity about the Amatraxin. So the Gemara wanted to suggest that what was the ambiguity? We weren't sure, is the Amatraxin part of the 40 of the Heichal, or is the Amatraxin part of the 20 of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? As Mr. Marder pointed out, it's clear from the Gemara that what? That it's neither. That it's neither. In fact, the Amma is not part of the 40. The Amma is not part of the 20. In fact, the Amma itself is a standalone amount. So if the Amma is a standalone amount, so what's the doubt? What's the problem that the rabbis have? So the Gemara, many people ask that question, by the way. Right? So the Gemara says, Ella kidushasei ikilifnim ikilachos. Oh, we're not worried about dimensions. We're not worried about is it part, meaning I will say, because we thought originally the Shaila was, we're trying to allocate our space. See, you've got 40 for the Heichal, 20 for the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So maybe the Shaila was, where does the Amma come from? It's actually a question of positioning. Now we realize that that's not the case. In fact, again, inside of the basement dish itself, there's actually 61 amos, 40 for the Heichal, 20 for the Kodesh HaKadosh, and the Amatraxin gets its own. So what's the Shaila? The Shaila is, what's the nature of the Kiddusha? I'm not worried as much about dimensions. I know that it's not eating into anyone's space. My Shaila is, Ela Kiddushase. What's the nature of its Kiddusha? Ikilifnim, ikilachutz. Does it have the Kiddusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Or does it have the Kiddusha of the Kodesh? And I will say, obviously, that is a very serious Shaila. Because if it has the Kiddusha of the Kodesh, then that means that it's traversable by a regular Kohen. If it's Kodesh HaKadoshim, then of course it's only Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. V'hainu d'amar Rabbi Yochanan, and this is what Rabbi Yochanan said. Excuse me. V'hainu d'amar Rabbi Yochanan. And this is what Rabbi Yochanan said when he mentioned Bo'i Rav Yosef Ish Hutzal, that Rav Yosef from Hutzal had the following question. We'll say, quoted the pasuk from Melachim Aleph, which is what we spoke about before. Udvir besocha bayis mipnima heichin l'sitein sham es aron b'ris Hashem. Now we'll say, let's translate the words, and then we'll have to try to figure out what the pasuk actually means. Literally translated, Devir is a partition. So there was a Devir, there was a partition within the Beis HaMikdash. Mipanima, on the inside, Heichin, it was prepared, L'sitein Sham, to place there, the Ark of the Covenant, the Aron Bris Hashem. Now, so says Yosef Ish Hutzal, what's the problem? Iboi Lahu. See, here's the Shaila. Heichi Ka'amar Kra. How do you read this pasuk? Do you read it? Udevir b'soch habayis pinima heichen l'sitein sham. So Rabbi said, look at Rashi for just a moment. So he says, heichi kamar kra, miar minan hachi kamar udevir b'soch habayis mechitza asa shemafsekes b'soch habayis mipnima heichen v'lifnim me'osa mechitza heichen makom chalala v'hezmino la seis shames aron. Alma devir gufei lamik dushas pnimhu. So also listen to this. So when you read this pasuk, there's two ways you can read it. You can read it udevir besoch habayis mipnima heichin lesitein. Now what does that mean? There was a partition, and inside of the partition was the area where you placed the aron. Which means what? Inside the partition, from within the partition, is the kodesh hakadoshim, but the partition itself is not. Only mipnima. So the dvir was there, and mipnima, again, udvir b'so chabayis, there was a partition, mipnima heichin. Again, that's my own, right? Mipnima, right? Mipnima, on inside of the partition, ultimately is where the Kodesh HaKadoshim begins. So that's one way you read the pasuk. On the other hand, odilma, hachi kamar, udvir b'so chabayis mipnima. Or you can read it how, that the partition represented the within. Right from the partition, which already is within, that's where the Kodesh HaKadoshim was. Or in other words, what Yosef Ish Chutzal was saying is that the reason why Chazal had this ambiguity or had this doubt as to the actual status of the Amatraxin is because the pasuk itself could be read in two different ways. Are we saying Udevir that the actual curtain is the point of demarcation and it's only from the inside of the curtain and on is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or that the curtain itself represents Pnima? The curtain itself represents the inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And really from the time you cross, from the time you go to the threshold of the Amatraxin, you are essentially already within the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And because technically you could read the pasuk in both of these ways, that creates the doubt. So the Gemara says, Uminu Safkale, but do we really have doubt about how to go ahead and read this pasuk? V'hatanya, but we learned, Isi ben Yehuda Omer. Isi ben Yehuda said the following Rabbi Osai. This is a very interesting Gemara. Chamesh mikros ein lahen hechreya. There are five psukim that we don't know how to read. I will say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Ein lahen hechreya, ladaas hechan heinotin. So we'll say, as we're going to see in just a moment, there are five psukim that could be read in two different ways. And the truth is, we're not exactly sure how to read it. Turn the page. For example, number one is seis. So we'll say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Haloim teitiv se'is. So this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to Cain. This is after the episode where Cain and Hevel offer up their karbanos, and Hevel's karban is immediately accepted, Cain's is not. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Cain, im teitiv, se'itiv se'is. Right? If you go ahead, now you'll see, this sounds like it reads pretty easily, which is, if you better yourself, se'is, you will what? You will lift yourself up. But Rashi points out over here, Beloshon Slicho. So on one hand, we can read it just as I mentioned it. Im lo seitiv seis, if you don't, right? If you go ahead, excuse me, im seitiv seis, if you better yourself, you will lift yourself up. O seis im lo seitiv beloshon nesias avon. Or you could also read it how? You could also read it here. He quotes the pasuk. If you have the Torah or on the side over here, you could see. Or you could read it is im lo seitiv, excuse me, meaning that you can go ahead and read it. Se'is could also mean, Rashi says, as could be lifting up, but could also mean lifting up sin. So the question is se'is there as going ahead as a modifier for seitiv? If you better yourself, you'll lift yourself up. Or is it a modifier on the second phrase, im lo seitiv, right? If you don't go ahead and lift yourself up, you will carry with you your avon, your sin. Next, Mishukadim. So we'll say Mishukadim is by the menorah. So if you look again at Rashi, Mishukadim, Arbo'o Gevim Mishukadim, O Mishukadim Kaf Torel Pracha. So we'll say, interesting, when it comes to the menorah, so the Torah talks about the idea that the menorah has to be, part of the menorah has to be engraved like almonds. But it's not clear exactly which part it's modifying. Is it talking about the Gevim? Is it talking about Gevim literally means like the cups, the receptacles on the menorah? Or is it referring to kaftura paracha? Ultimately, again, the kaftura paracha means the knobs and the flowers. So mishukadim, is the almond type shape going on the receptacles, or is it ultimately going on the flowers and the knobs? Okay.
That is two separate psukim.
I'm sorry.
That particular one is two separate psukim.
He's quoting.
Rabbi Meshukadim is one pasuk, and Meshukadim kaftareh frachah is somewhere else.
No, ubam nora arba gevi mishukadim kaftara parachah. Same pasuk. Same pasuk.
No, but mishukadim kaftara parachah is a phrase that appears somewhere else.
Correct. No, it appears correct. It appears elsewhere in the parak. But the first time it appears ubam nora arba gevi mishukadim kaftara parachah. So it's quoting the first time it appears.
That word is separated out between the two phrases.
Oh,
say it's not.
Right. Correct. So that the Tosas brings down the idea, by the way, that for some of these. The trap should actually clarify how this is used. So Tosa says a whole lot of rikos about this, not for now. So the Gemara goes on. Arur, look at Rashi. Did I skip here? Oh, thank you. Machar, look at Rashi. Machar, sehi lachim ba'amalek machar. So we'll say, listen to this. And how, if the pasuk is, Her Moshe Yoshua, bechar lanu anashim, v'tsehi lachim ba'amalek, go out and fight against Amalek. Machar, tomorrow, Anochi nitzav arosh hagiva. I will be sitting on the top of the valley. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, so the question is, what does Machar go on? Does Machar go on, go out and fight Amalek tomorrow? Or is it go out and fight Amalek today, and tomorrow I will be sitting on Rosh Hagiva? Arur, take a look at Rashi, is actually very interesting. Arur, or birtzonam ik akru shor. Arur, so here is quoting the pasuk in Parashas Vayechi, Besodam al tavol nafshi, bikalom al techad kivodi, ki ba'apam hargushor, ubirtsonam ikrushor, arur apam ki az. So we'll say, again, what a little, so say with the Shimon and Levi, because with their anger, they killed the man, and with their will, they uprooted the ox. So the way we normally read it is, their anger should be cursed. So the Gemara points out over here, does arur go with shor? They uprooted the cursed ox, or does Arur go with Arur Apam? Their anger should be cursed. Okay. In which case, the cursed ox would be a reference to Shechem. Vikam. What's Vikam? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Vikam. Hine shochev im avosecha Vikam. So Moshe is by Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Yomar Shal Moshe, Hincha shochev im avosecha Vikam. So what happens? God says to Moshe, you're going to sleep with your ancestors, Vikam, and you will get it. So we can read Vikam in one of two ways. Either after you die, Vikama Amazeh, the nation will get up and worship idolatry, or you will sleep with your ancestors, but what? Vikam, you Moshe will arise. In which case, the Torah itself is giving a veiled reference to Tchiyas HaMeisim. So we'll say, the point over here is what? So what the Gemara is asking is the following. The Gemara wanted to say before that Yosef Ish Hutzal, Yosef Ish Hutzal said the whole problem, the whole reason why we have this doubt as to how to deal with the Amatraxin is why? Because the Pasuk in Malachim Aleph that speaks about the Devir, that speaks about the partition, it's not clear. Is the partition itself Penima? Is the partition itself considered to be part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Or no, that only the area from the partition and inside, meaning the partition itself, is not Penima. It's only the area inside the partition that's considered to be Penima. So now the Gemara says, V'atanya, hu Yosef Ish Hutzal, hu Yosef HaBavli, hu Isi Ben Yehuda, hu Isi Ben Gur Aryeh. All these names are the same people. Hu Isi Ben Gamliel, who is Isi ben Mahalalel? Umashmo, what was actually his name? Isi ben Akiva Shmo. His name was actually Isi ben Akiva. So I'll say, so why is this important for us? Because remember again, we just said before, Isi ben Yehud, Isi Yosef Ish Hutzal, who now we've established is the same person as Isi ben Yehuda. They're the same person. Yosef Ish Hutzal said, I don't know how to read the Pasuk in Malachim Aleph. I don't know how to understand this devir penima. Udevir besoch habayis mi penima. Is the devir on the inside? Is the partition part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Is the devir on the outside? Here's the problem. That Isi ben Yehuda, who is the same person as Yosef Ish Hutzal, said that there are only five psukim that we don't know how to read. And in that list of five psukim, what is not included in it? The pasuk from Malachim Aleph. So how could Isi ben Yehuda, who is Yosef Ish Hutzal, say that he has doubt about this pasuk in Malachim Aleph when he said that there are only five psukim that we have doubt about? To which the Gemara says, very simple. To which the Gemara says, "Bidaraisa leka, b'nedvi ika." When Yosef, I have to remember which name we're using where. When Isi ben Yehuda said that there are only five psukim that we're not exactly sure how to read, he used to have psukim in the Torah. So psukim and Torah, there are only five psukim that we're not exactly sure how to read. But in Navi, there are plenty of psukim that we don't know how to read. And therefore, again, it's not a stira. Therefore, you can say there are only five psukim in the Torah, but I still don't know how to read that pasuk in Melachim Aleph of Devir HaKodesh Pnima. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Ubidoraisa leka. Now, Rosa, now once the Gemara picked up on this, so now the Gemara says, now again, is that true that there are only five psukim that we don't know how to read in the Torah, that there aren't more? Vaha'ika, the Bayer of Chista, listen to this. Vayishlach es na'arei b'nei Yisrael. Vaya'alu olos kivasim. Vayizbichu zvachim shlomim parim. So we'll say, listen to this. O Dilma, idi v'idi parim. So we'll say, here the Gemara says, this is by Matan Torah. So by Matan Torah, by Harsinai Torah says, Vayishlach es na'arei b'nei Yisrael, they sent the lads of the Jewish people. Vaya'alu olos. They went ahead and they sacrificed olos. Vayizbichu zvachim shlomim la'ashem parim. And they offered up, zvachim, karbanos, shlomim la'ashem parim. And they were of cows. So the Shaila Rabbah says the Gemara records two different karbanos. It talks out that they offered up olos, and it also talks out that olos would normally come from kibasim, would normally come from sheep, and it also says that they offered up zvachim shlomim lashem parim. So the Shaila is parim just telling me the type of animal they used for shlomim, or did they also use parim for olos as well? So you see over here that there's a sixth pasuk that we're not exactly sure how to read in the Torah. So apparently again, for Rav Chista this was a doubt. Li'isi ben Yehuda pshitale. But apparently for Isi ben Yehuda it was pashit that parim did not cover both zvachim, or did not cover both shlamim and olos, but rather again parim was only used for olos. So we'll say what comes out from this sugi is, remember, this doubt still stands. So the Rambam discusses this. So now again, remember, we don't know what to do with the amatraxin. Is the amatraxin ultimately again, part of the Kodesh? Is it part of the Kodesh HaKadosh? Now, the one thing we've established is what? That it's not part of the 60 Amos of open space. At least that part we've established, because we originally thought that the Shaila was, whose space is it getting? That this is like a territorial issue, right? Is it going to get are we taking an Amma out of the Kodesh? Or we're taking Amma out of the Kodesh HaKadosh? So at least now we've established that answer. That answer is neither. Why? Because the Amatraxin, just like the width of any of the other walls and partitions of the Beis HaMikdash, is what? Is calculated on its own. It's not part of the 60 Amma open space, which then now leads us to the Shaila of, what is the nature of the Kiddusha of the Amatraxin? Is it like the Kodesh? Is it like the Kodesh HaKadoshim? And now we see, where does the ambiguity come from? The ambiguity really comes from the Pasuk in Melachim itself. How do I read this phrase of Udvir Bisoch HaBayis Mipenima? There was a partition in the Beis HaMikdash, and Mipenima, on the inside of it, was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Does inside of it means not including the partition? Or does inside of it means the partition is included inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim as well? We're not sure. And I will say again, during the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, it didn't make a difference. Why? Because the Amatraxin was there. And the truth is, again, remember, the only time we were ever traversing that threshold was when? Was the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. But again, obviously, in the second Beis HaMikdash, where the structure is much taller, there is no Amatraxin wall. So how did Chazal deal with this issue? This is why we go back to what we said yesterday. What did they do? They created a double partition, a double curtain. According to everyone except Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi still holds, remember, that there was only one curtain in the second Beis HaMikdash as well. But according to everyone else, there was a double partition, a double curtain. And that double curtain demarcated this one Amma area. So again, was it Kodesh? Was it Kodesh Kadashim? We're not sure. But the truth is, again, the only person ever accessing it was the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur.
What about the thickness of the curtain? Is that too, like, minuscule?
Yeah, the Gemara doesn't discuss it, which would seem to indicate that it's negligible. Remember, we have this concept, we saw this elsewhere, that in the Beis HaMikdash, anything less than an Amma is not even spoken about. So it must have been less than an Amma in thickness.
Well, the whole point was that the Machlok was, he said, when it's one curtain, it's because it was a curtain of an Amma. And then
correct.
Two
correct.
Because so they specifically
make that
out.
Correct. Says the Mishnah, Chichitzona Haisa Perufa Min Adarom. So we'll say again. Remember now, going back to the Kohen Gadol accessing the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So remember, you can look at picture 113 on your sheet. And I will say, interestingly enough, our Mishnah is now reflecting the view that the Kohen Gadol is accessing the. It should be this, the new packet for today. should have pictures. Starts with 112 on the top. So our mission is going with the view now that the Kohen is at, the Kohen Gadol is accessing the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the southern side. On the southern side, remember, on the southwest side. So he's going to be walking. Remember, we already pointed out, how is he walking? If you're accessing through the southwest side, how are you walking? How are you getting there? Between the Mizbeach and the Menorah. Remember, you're not going behind the Menorah. Why? So as not to get the Kohanic clothing dirty. So you're accessing between the Mizbeach and the Menorah. So now it says the Mishnah, Hachitzona Haisa Perufa Min Adorom. The outer curtain was Perufa, literally means Rabbos site, was pinned up. Like again, I apologize, the picture is not that great, but you can see over here, this corner of the curtain is pinned up. Min Adorom on the southern side. Upinimis, the inner curtain, Minat Safon, was pinned up on the north. So Rabbos, remember, as we're going to see, what would happen over here is, if you look at picture 113, the Kohen...
Who pinned up the inner one?
I'm sorry?
Who pinned up the inner one?
So remember, again, there must have been an allowance to go in for the inner one, assuming that they would treat it like the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
Well, even...
Oh, sorry, Viter. So now, again, hello. When I say Viter, I mean Viter. All right, so now, listen, you'll tell me after the shir. So now, again, just only because if I don't get finished the daf, my employers give me serious money. So now, again, so remember, so I'm going on the southern side. I'm going on the southern side. So I pin up the curtain. Then what I suppose, so when I go into the curtain, I hang a right, a sharp right. And when I go to the sharp right, remember, I'm walking north. I'm walking north, and what happens? The inner curtain is pinned up on the north, and what happens? Upnima minat safon, mahalich benehen, ad shemagia letzafon. So now, again, Cohen goes in on the southern side, hangs right, and walks towards the north. Higia letzafon, when I get to the north, hofech panav ledarom. So when I get to the north, then what do? I hang a left, and I begin, he's zigzagging. And now remember, also, now when I go to the north, now I'm now by the inner curtain. The inner curtain also is pinned up. And now what do? I hang a left. So now I'm in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, now walking towards the south. So what happens? Hofech panav ledarom, he turns to the south. Mahalich lismolo. Im haparochas. So we'll say again, as he's walking the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's walking south. If you're walking south, remember, again, the curtain is on your left-hand side. So we'll say again, even if you just want to use the picture that I just gave you over here on picture 112, just look for a moment over here. So just on this picture, you could see, again, he'd be walking in between the Mizbeach and the Menorah. Again, he'd go to the left-hand, so now I'm looking at the double partition. He's going to go on the left-hand side, which is the south. Then he's going to walk north. He's going to walk north, which means in between the curtains, which means the inner curtain is on his left, the outer curtain is on his right, until he gets to the edge of the inner curtain, which is also pinned up. Then he's going to hang left. When he hangs left, he's going to be walking south in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which means the curtain is now on his left. Ad shehu magia la'arom. Until he reaches our Navosai again. And picture 114 is just a picture of the Kohen Gadol walking in between the curtains. All right, it's not very good. But just in between the curtains. Turn the page to 115. Now, Kohen Gadol is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now already he's in the Holy of Holies. So we'll say, now you see again, you are looking at the Kohen Gadol inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So remember, you could see behind him, the pinned up inner curtain. The Kohen Gadol now is walking again south. Curtain is on his left-hand side. What happens? And he walks that way until he gets to the Aron. Shemagia la'aron. Higia la'aron. Once he gets to the Aron, nosin es hamachta ben shnei habadim. He would go ahead and he would place the machta, he would place the fire pan in between the badim. Rabosai are the staves, are the poles of the Aron. Now, just so you see, if you go back to your first picture on page 112, just so you see, it might actually be better to use the real Beis HaMikdash picture. But if you look in your a lot of pictures here. If you look in your Beis HaMikdash picture, I'll say this big one. So this is very important. You'll notice that the way the arm was situated is that the poles extended towards the curtain. So again, if you can imagine now, the Kohen is walking again south. The Kohen's walking south in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which means again the curtain is on his left hand side, and he walks until he gets to the Aron. Once he gets to the Aron, he places the fire pan he places the fire pan down between the poles of the aron. Okay, so now, he piles the ketores on top of the coals. So again, on both sides. So the fire pan again is sitting now in between the poles. He puts. Indiana Jones did have the poles, by the way. Just he did have the poles. Yeah. So he says the following. So now he put the ketores. He put the ketores on the coals themselves. Vinismale. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim is immediately filled with smoke. Yotza, so what happens after he goes ahead and the Kodesh HaKadoshim is filled with smoke, he's now done the Ketores. Yotza, he goes out. Uba lo bederech beis knisaso. I will say he goes back out the same way he came in. I will say, understand what this means. It means he walked out backwards. He walked out backwards. So what he did is, now again, it's only backwards. It's only backwards when he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he backs out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, literally retracing his steps backwards. So now he's walking, remember, when he's walking backwards, that means he's walking north, but he has not done an about face because his back is not going to face the Aros. So he backs out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And what happens? Umispalel. Okay, if you look at Rashi's mom, Derech Knisaso, Kishim Shenichnas Kishaholech Ledarom, Ad Shegil Aron, Panav Klapi Darom, Kach Kishayansa, Lo Hasiv as Panav Lotzes, Eliyoti Derech Chor, Panav Aron. So he keeps his face facing the Aron, and he walks out backwards. And what happens? Umispalo Tfila Kitsara, the Beis Achitzam. Now, we'll say, what would he do? After he exited the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would daven, he would say a short prayer. We'll discuss what his Tfila was, but it was a short prayer. Why a short prayer? It was a short prayer in order what? In order not to worry anyone. And I will say, understand something. When the Kohen Gadol was doing the Avodah and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you have to understand something. No one was allowed in the Beis Hamikdash. So everybody had to be out of the Kodesh. So what happens is when the Kohen Gadol would come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would say a short tefillah in the Heichal, in the Kodesh. Why a short tefillah? Everybody was waiting outside. And the longer he took, what's going to happen? People get nervous because ultimately, again, what's happened to the Kohen Gadol? So we'll discuss what this tefillah was, but he kept it short in order not to worry anyone. Says the Gemara. But my askinon, what are we talking about over here? Also, when we say what are we talking about over here, again, what we always ask in these conversations is, which Beis HaMikdash are we talking about? So the Gemara says, Ilema b'mikdash rishon. Mihava paroche. So we'll say it can't be the first temple. Why? Because remember, what does the Mishnah describe? The Mishnah describes going through a double curtain. Double curtain was only there by the first temple. So second temple. Thank you. Second Beis Hamikdash. So it can't be first Beis Hamikdash. On the other hand, El Bamikdashim. So therefore, you have to take this double curtain. It must be the second Beis Hamikdash. But however, El Bamikdashim. Mihava aron. But there was no aron. There was no ark in the second temple. Vatanya. We learned. Mishenignas Aron, when the Aron was hidden away, or Rabbi, we'll discuss when the Aron was hidden away. When the Aron was hidden away, Nignas Aimo, there were a number of things hidden away with it. Tzinsenes Haman, Rabbi is amazing. There was a jar of man that was kept with the Aron. The jar of man was to symbolize the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate sustainer. So Utsluchis Shemen HaMishcha, there was a flask of anointing oil. Right, this was oil that was used to anoint Davidic kings. So there was a flask of anointing oil. Maklo shel Aron ushkedeh prachal, the staff of Aron, together with its almonds and its flowers. This was the staff that was used to show that it was using the rebellion of Korach, to put down the rebellion of Korach, to show that Aron was the chosen Kohen and that Aaron's descendants are the chosen Kohanim. Also remember, all of these things represent certain, we'll call it, theological foundational pillars. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the sustainer, the Davidic line is the chosen line from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that Kuhuna could only come from Aaron HaKohen. Argos Sheshagru Plishtim Doron Alokei Yisrael. This is an interesting one. This is the chest that contained the golden pieces that the Plishtim sent to the Jewish people. This is referring to after Shneimar, Ukli Azov Asher Shivosim La'asham, Tasimu Ba'argos Mitzido, Ushlachtem Oso V'halach. This is very interesting. Remember when the Jewish people went to war against the Plishtim, so there was an episode where Shmuel's two sons, Chofni and Pinchas, go out to war with the people and they take the Aron. They weren't supposed to take the Aron, but they took the Aron. The Aron was captured by the Plishtim. So the Navi this is a major coup for the Plishtim. So the Navi discusses that there was only one problem. Wherever the Plishtim took the Aron, there was an outbreak of diarrhea and hemorrhoids. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes, that's Right? So what happened? So the Plishtim, as you can imagine, were very quick to return the Aron. And when they did it, they also sent a beautiful gold tribute to Klal Yisrael, recognizing the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That gold tribute was kept together with the Aron. Umiganzo, so when the Aron was hidden away, all these things were hidden away with it. Umiganzo, who hid the Aron? Yoshio. Rabosa, Yoshio was again one of the Davidic kings towards the end of the second of the first temple era, towards the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. He's a grandson, by the way, of a king named Menashe. Right? Menashe was one of the longest serving monarchs for 55 years. Menashe tried to do tshuva. He was a Rasha for 33, was about tshuva for 22, but he introduced Avodah Zarah in such a dramatic fashion that no one could undo what he did. So Yoshio, we'll see Gunzu. Ma ra'al sheganzu. Why did Yoshiyahu hide away the Aron? Why did he hide the Aron? Listen to this. Ra'al shekasov yolech Hashem es malke oscha ve'es malkecha asher takim alecha. So I'll say it's amazing. So what happens? So when Yoshiyahu was conducting extensive repairs on the first Beis HaMikdash, and what happened? When they were doing the repairs, they discovered the Sefer Torah that was kept in the Azara. You know, Rashi points out that this was a Sefer Torah written by Moshe Rabbeinu. And what happens? Normally, it was always kept in Bereishis. And they found that it was rolled to the Tochacha, to the series of curses. And in the Tochacha, it said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to go ahead and take you and your king, who you've appointed upon you, and ultimately he's going to exile you. When Yoshio saw that this was the writing on the wall, and he realized that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed, they were going to be exiled. At this moment, he got up and he hid the Aron. Shene Emar, the pasuk says, "Vayomer leLevim haMevinim lechol Yisrael Goshem Hashem." He said to the Levim, "Tenu es Arna Kodesh babayis asher bana Shlomo ben David Melech Yisrael." He said to the Levim, "Put the Aron in the place in the Kodesh." Excuse me. Put the Aron Kodesh in the home that Shlomo, the son of David, the king of Israel, built. You no longer have to transport it. Serve Hashem and serve the Jewish people. Now, both say, Yoshiyahu would not have been telling the Levim to place the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why? Because the Aron was already there. Yoshiyahu was saying, apparently, when Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, he built some type of subterranean chamber in the event that the Aron would have to be hidden. So Yoshiyahu tells the Levim, take the Aron to its hiding place. You no longer have the avoda of carrying the Aron. Your pure avoda is to serve the needs of Klal Yisrael. I'll have to stop over here. But you understand, the reason why the Gemara is introducing all of this is because, again, obviously the Mishnah tells me that the Kohen Gadol is placing the machta in between the poles of the Aron. But he can't be placing it in between the poles of the Aron. Why? Because if you're talking about a double curtain situation, that's second Beis HaMikdash, and there is no Aron in the second Beis HaMikdash. So, Emir Hashem to be continued tomorrow. It's a big daf. I will say daf will begin tomorrow at 5:45. It's a very long daf. We might have to do it for the next couple of days, but for sure tomorrow 5:45.
Not saying that we're not sure what that space in the Amatroxin is, and then the next mission says the second one is picked up. It's like a rush.
It's not such a cash. I mean, the same way that artists can go into the Kodesh HaKadosh in order to fix it. If you need to access it for needs, you can do it. You can do it.
I always thought that there was a gap. I thought that there was a permanent gap in that second one.
How did it go?
Meaning it didn't go all the way to the